Well, good morning, church. I am so excited to get to be here with you guys. I'm always very grateful to get to hold this mic and be up here. It is a privilege, isn't it? It's a privilege to get to share the word of God. And so first, I want to introduce myself. My name is Kylie. I've had the privilege of getting to be the middle school pastor here at Parkway. And when I say privilege, I mean privilege. If you don't know and you haven't heard, the best youth in the whole planet live in Grants Pass. They do. And if you didn't know that, you better go hang out with some youth. We need some volunteers anyway. So they are the best. They have such hearts for God, and I am so excited to see not just what they're going to do, but what they're doing right now in our schools, in our city. God has something for them, and I will say that to you every time. The best ones live here, and we're blessed to have them. So another thing you should know about me is that I'm a wife and a mom to almost two. One's coming, one's baking in the oven. And as new and learning parents, my husband and I often have conversations about our childhoods and how we grew up and the things that we've loved seeing in our own lives. We both have, I would say, the greatest privilege ever is that we both have two parents who love God and they love each other. That is one of the greatest privileges I believe anyone can ever have in life. And I am so thankful for it. When I was even thinking about that, I can't help but praise God for that. That is a miracle in itself. And one of the things I look back on my childhood that I just love is looking at my parents' relationship. The relationship they've had is pretty amazing. They've been married since they were 18 and 22. They were pretty young. They've been married almost 35 years this month, which is so cool. And I always want to celebrate that. I have a little picture of them, actually, and I'm only sharing this just because I want to, because I think they're adorable, but they'll put it up on the screen. Yeah, look at them. Oh my goodness, I just love it. But truly, when I reflect on my childhood and these two amazing people, one of the things that I look back on and I am so grateful for is that my parents, and I knew this from a very young age, they never took credit for what God did in their relationship. They never told me, we have an awesome marriage and we've been married for this many years because we did this. They would always glorify God in it every single time. This morning, I have the privilege of getting to share with you a little bit more about love. If you guys haven't been here the last 2 weeks, we've had some awesome messages the last 2 weeks. They have challenged me. We had the arrival of hope from our children's pastor, Bethany. And then we had the arrival of peace from our youth pastor, Chase. I'll tell you what, that both challenged me enough because I can sit in the sanctuary and say I'll have peace in all circumstances, but then you get home with your toddler who throws a block at your head. And it's a lot harder to have peace, but it's important that we do. So the arrival of love, the arrival of love. The arrival of Jesus really was this. It was the arrival of love. But this love was so unlike how our culture defines love. And I want to point that out this morning on purpose. The arrival of love was not Jesus redefining love. Hear this. It was not Jesus redefining love. He was bringing us back into realignment with the true love he made for humanity. We have all been created to crave love, to want love. God made us that way, and it's a good thing. But he didn't create us to love, to have the kind of love our culture says, but the kind of love that he designed. A humble, unconditional, benevolent love. It's a love that not only teaches, but empowers us to love others the way we should. So I have a kind of a fun example. So according to maybe a six-year-old, love might be defined as this. Love is when you're missing some of your teeth, but you're not afraid to smile because you know your friends will still love you, even though some of them are missing, which is true. I love that. But on a more serious note, if you really begin to Google search or go on some sort of social media platform and begin to search what is love, and begin to hear what our current culture says love is, it can be a little bit sobering, to be honest. In our current culture, love has been distorted and even perverted into nothing more sometimes than a word to describe an intense feeling or emotion. Or maybe it's only used to describe a person's sexuality. Maybe it's used to describe acceptance and support. Maybe it's just used, the word love, to explain a mysterious force that takes over your thoughts and your actions. Some would even say love is just a chemical reaction that happens in your brain. Maybe it's just justification for doing what makes you happy. That's what our world defines love as. In preparation for this message, as I was doing some of these Google searches, looking up, what does our world say love is? I turned to my husband and said, could you imagine being in this world and never knowing Jesus and trying to figure out what love is? Really, could you imagine that? Just trying to, and maybe some of you have been there. You're trying to find out what is love, what is this really? And I'll tell you what, the longer you spend on the internet, the more sad it becomes. Because really, there's a love that is so much greater, and that's what we get to talk about this morning. The word love in our culture is overused, undervalued, and wrongly defined. And really, truly, the English language doesn't really help with that. If you've been in church for some time, how many of you guys have been in church for a few seconds here? Yeah, okay, some of you guys. If you've been in church for some time, you've probably heard a speaker or two or many talk about the multiple words that are all used in scripture to define love. And in English, we just use one word, love. But in the original context that we're looking at in scripture, love had more meanings than that. C.S. Lewis put it this way. We love everything from various food to cars, from multiple movies to retailers, from people to God himself. We may not consciously distinguish one use from love from the other, in part because of our speech is becoming more and more informal. But it's important to be intentional about the differences. As we know, scripture tells us that love is the highest attribute. It's important this morning why I'm going to tell this to you, and maybe you've heard these different definitions of love before. It's important because scripture uses different kinds of love to describe different ways in which we should act. Literally, knowing these kinds of different loves makes a difference on how we treat our world. The first one I wanted to point out to you is the word storge, which means affection. And this is a warm, familiar love we feel for those we're close to. Maybe for some of you, being with your family, this is the kind of love you're going to feel over the holidays. It's a love that you have maybe for family and friends. It's gentle, it's humble, the love that grows because you have shared experiences, some comfort and routine, like a bond between even a mother and a child, the affection we feel for people often. This is what storge is. And then there's, I looked up how to pronounce these. I played it on my laptop like 4 times last night. But you'll have to just go with me. Phile, this love is based on the shared interest and mutual respect. It's the connection formed through camaraderie. When people bond over common goals or passions, maybe this is the kind of friendship you feel for those you played sports with in high school, or maybe you are work with at a job site. True friendship is deeply valued, but often overlooked in comparisons to other forms of love. Romantic love, eros. Romantic love is passionate, intimate connection between two people. It goes beyond just physical attraction to create a deep emotional bond where there's happiness and well-being and the other person is central to one's own. It's often viewed as the foretaste, unconditional love, reflecting a deeper spiritual bond. And then the last one, agape, charity, the highest form of love, characterized by unconditional, selfless care and compassion. It's the love God has for us and encourages us to extend to others. Agape love is willing to take risks and make sacrifices, aiming to help others unconditionally, even when it leads to your own personal pain or loss. See, it was agape love that Jesus came to bring. Agape love is benevolent love. Author and pastor John Piper describes this kind of love as a love of benevolence, and I want to explain that to you further. And here's what he meant by that. Benevolent love, by biblical definition, is a love humankind did not deserve. Romans 5:6-8 says this. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one might dare to die. But God shows his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This passage highlights the incredible sacrifice he gave for us. I think sometimes we can skip over that verse because we hear it a lot, or maybe it's a common verse, or it's even some of the verses we were first shared with us when we came to faith. But the truth is that this verse should bring us to a place where we can't help but worship. What kind of God would die for us? In my sin, in my humanity, in my messed upness, and not he didn't necessarily, he died for all of me, but he died for the really ugly parts too. Do you guys know that this morning? The parts that you don't want anybody to see, the hard, the ugly, the person that you used to be, Christ died for that. Even when we weren't deserving of it. Benevolent love in biblical definition is this: a love with a heavy price that he was willing to pay. What a humbling cost. In World War II, a Polish soldier was in Auschwitz and was chosen to die of starvation along with 9 other prisoners because someone had escaped. Upon hearing his selection, this man began to weep, obviously. He was about to leave his wife to become a widow and his children fatherless. But a man by the name of Friar Maximilian Kolbe stepped up, and he was 47 years old, a Catholic priest, and took his place. And after 15 days of suffering, of starvation, he was eventually injected and died. It's hard to imagine the intensity of even this situation. A story that I just told you, a few sentences maybe, is such an intense human sacrifice, unimaginable to everyone in this room, hopefully. But how much more is the love that Jesus displayed when he took our sins? 1 Peter 2:24 says this: he himself bore our sins in his body on a tree that we might die to sin and live in righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. This verse explains that Jesus took upon himself the punishment for our sins from his crucifixion. Isaiah 53:5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. A prophetic message of Jesus' suffering. By his wounds, we are healed. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What an exchange that was. He took my sin, and in return, we receive righteousness. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. I think it can be easy to forget the debt that was paid on our behalf. But it's important that we do, because it reminds us of the intensity of this love. It reminds us of the intensity of agape love, this benevolent love. He paid a great price because his love was greater. Do you know that this morning? He paid a great price because he loved us. His love was greater than any price that could be paid. Benevolent love, in biblical definition, is this: a love that offers something humanity could never reach on their own. Isaiah 64:6. We all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. This verse emphasizes that even our good deeds, even the things that we can do for good humanity, are tainted because we have sin, and we can't measure up to God's holiness. Part of my story and things that I've walked through in my life, me and my husband lost a child when we were 21 and 22, and there's a lot to that story, and I'm not going to share all of it today, but if you know, if you've ever lost a loved one, you might know that hospital bills and funeral cost bills are still real, even when you lose someone and you're walking through something hard. Money still exists and bills still exist no matter what. And as a 21 and 22-year-old losing a child, my husband and I had to look at each other and go, we're kind of broke. We're literally living on a college budget and we're going to have this debt and we don't really know what to do with it, but God, we trust you. And in that, I have a pretty incredible story. We had a couple really cool things happen. When we went and we went to the funeral home and we had some conversations with the people there, we went in thinking, okay, we're going to max out a credit card probably today, but it is what it is. And the woman that was helping us, I love her, she's like an angel, she turned to us and said, oh, actually this establishment, this funeral home, we a long time ago had decided that if there's any children who come into this funeral home who have passed away, we'll cover it completely. And yeah, that's exactly my reaction in tears and all the things. How incredible was that? And then we went, okay, we still have hospital bills, gonna max out the other credit card. And I found out about a financial forgiveness program that paid our hospital bills completely. Gone. Yeah, praise God. It was crazy. I still can't believe that. Yeah, that's something to praise God for. This story, though, I always come back to, and as great as it is, it's a great story, and I love what God did through it. It's only a dull reflection of the debt that he paid for me. He gladly paid that price. God didn't begrudgingly go to the cross for you. He went gladly. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God's immense love for humanity, sending his son to die for our sins so that we could live eternal life. Benevolent love in biblical definition is this, a love that he did not give begrudgingly but willingly. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is in your midst. A mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. God has a deep love, and not just a love, a joy for his people. He's a God with a tender care for humanity, and his delight is in us. Even in our sin, even in our messed up state, he didn't begrudgingly go to the cross. He went willingly. This benevolent love was a love that Jesus brought when he arrived. Jesus was the arrival of love. And in this Christmas season, as we celebrate this arrival, I want us to remember this, that agape love was the love that Jesus had for us when he came to earth in humble form as a baby lying in a manger. Agape love was the love that Jesus had for us when he ministered to humankind, healing and teaching and correcting and showing us what it looked like to walk with God. Agape love was the love that he had for us when he was convicted and led to a cross to die for the sins of the world, mine and yours. Agape love was the love Jesus displayed when he was hanging on a cross. And when he ministered to the criminal next to him, agape love was the love that Jesus had for us when he went, he stole the keys from death, hell, and the grave, and he rose again so that we too can rise with him. Agape love was the love that God had for us when he sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in us and move through us. And today, my challenge for you, and what I felt that God laid on my heart for this morning, is that this love isn't just the kind of love God has for us, but it's the love that he wants us to have for one another. And if you're looking at that like it's an impossible task, it is. It is an impossible task in your own power. It is impossible to have agape love in yourself. But God has given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us the power to love each other in this way. I want to read to you guys and have you guys follow along with me. 1 John 4:7-21. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us. This God has sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and has sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. Wow. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has forgiven us of his Spirit. Because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love is perfected within us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is also, we are in the world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he does not love his brother whom he has and cannot seen, and cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from God, whoever loves God must also love his brother. I know I just read a lot of passages for you, to you guys, but they did this on purpose. This passage in John chapter 4 is not a call to a passive response. Please hear me in that. It's not something you read and feel all giddy and then go. No, it's a commandment. It's not passive, it's active. And the word in this passage for love, you'll guess it, it's agape. It's not the kind of love we can do in ourselves. It's not the kind of love that just means friendship. It goes beyond friendship or romance or affection. It's agape love. It's unconditional. It's selfless. And it's the kind of love that Christ had for us when he died on the cross. It's a love for our enemies and our friends, for our families and our coworkers, for the stranger to the acquaintance. It's the love for the lowest of society, the lowest in our world, and the love for the saint in the highest of our world, right? Agape love is impossible without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And our world needs agape love now. Not tomorrow, not next week. Agape love is what our world needs now. They needed it yesterday, and they will continue to need it. And we need to be the kind of people that will lean into that. To love each other as Christ loved us, an impossible task, yet made possible through the Holy Spirit. I'm going to welcome our worship team back up. There's a song that I love, and I probably love it because I grew up in the church in the early 2000s, but there's a song by Brandon Heath I grew up listening to. And in the early moments of my faith when I was a teenager, I would just play this on repeat in my iPod and my headphones. The song is called Give Me Your Eyes. And the lyrics say this, and I won't sing it because you guys don't want to hear that. But it says this. It says, give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything I've been missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones who are far beyond my reach. Give me the heart for the one forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. So the artist who wrote this, he was on a trip, he was on a plane, and he noticed that there were people around him in need of love. God highlighted that to him, but yet he did nothing. He did nothing. He sat in his seat, went on his flight, and went home. And he prayed when he got home that God would change him, that would give him a love for humanity that only can come from God's perspective. I love what our pastor shared this morning of getting behind Jesus and looking at his perspective. And I believe that's what we need to do this morning when it comes to loving our world. We can't try to love the world in our own power. We can't love the world sometimes and love some people and hate our brother and say we love God. We can't do that. But you know what we can do this morning? We can get at an altar and we can ask for God to give us his eyes and give us his heart for humanity. Before I keep talking and blubbering away at you, I want to pray. And then after I pray, I would ask, would you come? If that's you, and I hope it is, and you want God to give you new eyes and new heart to reach our nation and the nations around us and the neighbors behind us, all the way to the children in India. God has that for us. We simply need to ask for empowerment for the Holy Spirit and new eyes and a new heart to hear from him. Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you that, God, you're not a distant God. You're not a God who left us here, but you're an active and moving God, a God that loved us so deeply that you were willing to pay the ultimate price, a price that we couldn't pay, a price that was too heavy. You were willing to come and pay. God, I can't even begin to understand how good you are and what that means. God, I can't even begin to understand how much you love us and love humanity. But Lord, I would ask this morning, before we come to this altar, would you begin to work on our hearts? Would you work on mine? God, would you give us new hearts and new eyes to see our world in a different light? God, would we not be passive people who sit on the plane and ignore the needs of those around us, but will we be an active people, not in our own power, but in your power, Holy Spirit, an active people to love our world, a bold people to love our world and share our faith and share this love you have for us. Thank you, Lord, in your name, amen.
Oh, Pastors was up here sharing, mighty woman of God, that brings us to this perspective. I was reminded of Romans chapter 9 verses 3 when Paul wrote, "For I could wish that I was accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers." That the love that was deposited into him was so rich that he knew he couldn't, but if he can change places with somebody else so that they can know what he knew, he would do it. I'm going to be honest, I don't know if I could say yes that I could do that. I was landed in Varanasi, India, took a bus ride from the airport, got on these rickshaws, equivalent to 50 cents US dollars. This 80-pound man biked me almost 2.5 miles through traffic. When he was trying to load my luggage, he, little orphan kid was sitting next to me, and he kicked this little orphan kid down because he had 50 cents to go make. And it's hard for me to wrap my mind around having not love for just the orphan, but to have love for the man who did the kicking of the orphan. I remember walking through that week, Pastor Kylie, and wondering, like, Lord, should I pray that you nuke this place or reach this place? Just being honest. Sometimes I look at the world and I get conflicted in my humanity. When it's really easy to love the victim, but it's really hard to love the abuser. And we, according to scriptures, are the abuser. We all sinned. You'll never look into the eyes of somebody that Jesus does not love. And as you were communicating wonderfully today, Pastor Kylie, I want to love like Jesus. I don't want a wimpy love that excuses sin, that placates unrighteousness. I want to be able to have the kind of love that transforms, that calls truth truth, that calls lies lies, and is willing to stand up to those that are doing the wrong, but also tell them that they too can be transformed by the gospel. It is in that balance that I want to bring us to a closing prayer. It's, Lord, I want to see what you see. I want to hear what you hear. I want to feel and sense what you feel. When I drive, like all of us do, down the parkway and we see the homeless encampments, I wrestle. Is that okay to admit out loud? I wrestle. When I see the young people in our community just struggling, I wrestle. I wrestle with the proper way to love them. I wrestle with, Lord, maybe they're just getting what they deserve. I wrestle with, Lord, how can I help them? I'm thankful that someone taught me what it was to walk in that agape love, that modeled it, the Holy Spirit through men in action, that when I was naked, they clothed me. When I was hungry, they fed me. When I was acting a fool, they rebuked me. They loved me so much to confront me and tell me the truth. Lord, this morning over Parkway, would you teach us how to love like you love? Would you just stretch your hands up in a receiving position? Holy Spirit, we say yes to you. We give you permission as we walk through this Christmas season where we say, celebrate the arrival of salvation that we did not deserve. Would you begin to transform our hearts and our eyes and our ears to begin to see the world through your eyes? Father, this morning there's been a clear clarion message. We get behind you. We don't want to oppose you. We get behind you. We want to see what you see. There he is. Just pray that prayer, Holy Spirit. We just want to see what you see. We want to hear what you hear. Father, day and night, night and day, let our worship honor you because we see what you see. Yes. Brooke, would you sing it? Just sing day and night.
Day and night, yes. Night and day, let incense rise.
Let our worship
day
be to you.
And night, night and day, yes. Let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense rise. Day and night, night and day, let incense, let it rise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense, let it rise. Oh, day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, you are worthy of it all. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy of it. Only you are worthy of it. All from you.
If I didn't do what I was about to do, then you should probably find a new pastor. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed all across this room, maybe you walked into this building and you're feeling a love like you've never felt before. And you say, Pastor, it's me this morning. I want to give my heart to Jesus. It's what I've been searching for. It's what I've been aiming for. I've been trying to fill it with so many things in this life. But I'm recognizing right now from the preaching of the word, It's Jesus that I'm after. If that's you, you want to give your heart to Jesus this morning with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, would you stretch up your hands so I can see it? Is there anybody in this room? Yeah, thank you, sir. Anybody else? Thank you, ma'am. I see your hand up there. I see your hands up there. Thank you. Yes. Church, would you just take just a few moments and repeat this prayer after me, just as an encouragement to those that are about to pray it? Say, Dear Heavenly Father, because you chose me, I get to choose you. Thank you for loving me. All those horrible spots in my life, you didn't run from them, you ran to them. I accept you today as my personal Lord and Savior. Never to be in opposition to you again, but to take my place behind you and to become a follower of Jesus. Forgive my sins. Make me white as snow. Today I say yes to you, your will for my life, and the ways that you want me to walk. And I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. If you raised your hand and you want to know what the next steps are, we have a yes team that would love to sit and chat with you. If you want to come forward at the end of the service, our yes team members will be up here. We call them our yes team because you just said yes to Jesus. And we want to make sure that you have all the tools that you can to walk this out. Would you guys give Pastor Kylie a big round of applause for blessing us today? She did such an incredible job. This pastor loves you. We got Sunday prayer and worship tonight. Chad Wiltrout's going to be bringing in the word and devotion at 5 o'clock. I love you. Have a Merry Christmas. Let's go love our world in Jesus' name.